Greetings, siblings all. We've arrived at episode 5 of Dear Uncle Tony. I'm your host, Kate Goodnight, Zai 2002. As always, this episode is chock full of great pieces from fellow Zais. I would like to take a moment to encourage you listeners out there to get in touch with Dear Uncle Tony and be a part of the podcast. You can call in to our Google Voice line at 919-709-DEAR. You can read a short piece, no longer than 3 minutes, or leave a greeting for Uncle Tony and your St. A. siblings. You can also get in touch with the Dear Uncle Tony Committee at submissions@DearUncleTony.com. We can set up a time to record with you, or you can send us your own audio file. However you get in touch, do be sure to leave us your first and last names, preferred title, i.e. brother, sister, or sibling, and your pledge year. We hope you'll be the next new voice on Dear Uncle Tony. Now, episode 5. First up, Brother Michael Williams talks to Sister Kaysen Whitcomb about painting on glass.
So, tell us your name and pledge class.
Kaysen Whitcomb, Zai, spring 2015.
And what are we looking at?
Well, you are looking at my pledge project. It's stained glass, but it's not real glass, it's actually plexiglass, because that was a lot easier to work with, and I was afraid I was going to break real glass. So I went with plexiglass, and yeah, that's what came out.
And that's for the same name?
Initially, yeah. I think that I tried to push past that. Mm-hmm. I started with a portrait I saw online of, I really love stained glass. I think it's so beautiful and light. I love things that can incorporate the world into whatever I'm creating. I think light is so cool. So that's kind of why I went with stained glass, and I saw this portrait online, and so I drew it on some like normal drawing paper and then transferred it over to the glass and then painted on that once I had like the leading down.
So what are, beyond plexiglass, what are the materials? Like, what are the paints?
It's stuff I found at Michael's for cheap. It's like glass paint.
There's paint specifically for glass
that's transparent so that light can come through and you can still get the color of the paint. Mm-hmm. And the black is, it's called leading, and it's for when you're trying to make stained glass but you're not actually cutting the glass and gluing it together and like you're using paint. It's not transparent at all. It's meant to be very thick so sure. There is no light that can get through. It can also, like, it's kind of rays so you can paint and everything stays in mm-hmm. its little sections.
Do you apply the glass paint with a brush, with a sponge brush?
You are supposed to use a brush. Again, the brushes I'm working on a very limited budget, and the brushes I bought were just not what I wanted. So I just started using my fingers to kind of smudge it. And I really wanted to, at the end, I decided I wanted to try to get that like mix. It's really beautiful in real stained glass where they're like blowing the glass. And so all the colors are different and they kind of all like blend together. And so I was like, maybe I can layer paint on top of each other. But this particular glass paint dries really quickly. So it was difficult for me to mix them and get that layering effect. So it didn't really turn out. But I'm hoping to experiment more in the future with that. I think the only place you can really see it is with the orange and the
right.
yellow.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it would be better to try to mix it while it's still wet or do like a layer and then do another layer on top. But I think that really depends on the consistency of the paint because some colors come up a lot brighter than others do. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And yeah. This was your pledge project?
Yes, this is my pledge project.
Okay.
It's also my first time really working with glass and glass paint. I was kind of making it up. I was just...
That's great.
A lot of just new things were happening, so I figured just go with it.
So does it make you want to work more with glass, or is it just pen, or is it like,
yeah,
no,
definitely.
Stay away from glass?
I actually don't do a lot of visual art.
Really?
I prefer to write, but this was really exciting because I had never really tried to draw and paint, and again, I figured, like, why not? I'll just try something. And I would love to do more work with glass. I think it's a beautiful final product, and it's pretty in the dark, it's pretty when the sun's up, and I think it's really beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great.
Awesome, thanks.
Thanks to Sister Wickham for sharing the story of her pledge project with us. And now, a story of college world travels from Brother John Matthews.
I'm John Matthews, I-66. There's the summer of 1969, and Brother Alexander Wall and I had gone to Europe and sort of did the grand tour of auto-stopping all through Europe. And we'd been to Greece, we made our way to Greece, and went over to Turkey, and we were in Istanbul, and we wanted to finally go back to Germany, to Munich, and we'll take the train. We're not going to auto-stop anymore, we're not going to hitchhike. So we see, oh, we can take the Orient Express. And, of course, we go back to all those great movies, you know. The Orient Express, it's going to be a beautiful experience. Well, it was hell on wheels. Right? We didn't bring our chickens. We didn't bring our goats. So we were kind of out of place because everywhere you went and stopped, people would get on and they'd have freaking livestock with them. So that was okay. No food. So we were like starving to death. Every once in a while it would stop somewhere and you'd have to hop off, hope you could get back on the train, get some sort of a food product that you had no idea what you were eating. But to sort of follow up on the KGB and the Russian thing, at that point, does Albania still exist as a country? Does anyone know? It does.
Oh, yes.
It's the last communist country in Europe.
You could not go through Albania in the daytime. So the train had to stop somewhere, and we waited until it was dark, because they didn't want any Westerners to see Albania. Yeah, big disappointment. We didn't get to see Albania. So we go through, and we meet Yugoslavia. And Alex and I had passports, but we didn't have any visas. Because there's sort of this unwritten tourist in transit rule, where If you're not getting off in a country, but you're just going through, you don't need to have a visa. The Yugoslavian border guards come on the train, and they're going down, and they get to us, and they go, passports, visas. And we go, well, we have passports. And he goes, visas. We said, no, we're not getting off the train. We don't need a visa. And at that point, they carried machine guns. And he pulls up his machine gun, pulls it back, and goes, visas. And we're like, oh dear. And we go, no visas, we're sorry, you know, no problems. And he goes, surrender your passports. And we give him our passports, and he goes, and this is one of those places where the border crossing is sort of like a Doctor Who phone booth. That's it. Sitting on a piece of concrete. And he goes, well, the Americans will leave the train. And Alex and I go, we get off the train. They're gonna fucking kill us. And so we go, no, we said, you know, shoot us now, just right here in front of everybody. And he goes, no, the Americans will leave the train. And we're like, no, we're not getting off. So he says, well, too bad. He says, stay here then, takes our passports. They hold us for about an hour. And finally the engineer comes back. I can't keep the train any longer, he says. I'm kind of behind schedule. We said, well, that's okay. When we get, you know, to the capital, we'll go to the embassy and get new passports. So he says, okay. So we start up the train. And as we're leaving the border guard, we're standing at the, you know, the little steps that go down. He runs up and he hands us our passports and he goes, you know, next time, have visas. And we're like, okay. This is all working out. Then we notice that he's taken a family that we had met on the train from India. And they're outside the train with all of their luggage. in the middle of freaking nowhere. And the border guard just goes, no. And the train left. I have no idea what happens when people do that, but that was a bad time over there. If you've ever been had somebody put a machine gun in your face, you can kind of relate to that.
My name is Ivana Boddicker. I am Zai, Fall 14, and this is a poem called Round 12. My eyes are on your callous knuckles. You're worn, and I'm tired. Split lips used to be endearing. Something to nurse, something to take care of, a way to fix you. So was wrapping your broken hands with tape, trying to hold together skin that was just too cracked, skin that just wouldn't heal. Draped in red, an anti-hero with a broken nose. Red was a costume not hard to see past. You shared your practice techniques when I wanted to learn to stand on my novice feet. These secrets felt like they were made to be earned. Now your cracked lips don't tell me anything. Then I liked the way bruises looked like plums tattooed on your tender flesh. The way you carried a bag of ice like a trophy you'd have forever. But your hands, always up in defense, a wall more than a novice could combat. I was the wide-eyed rookie who thought she could take you on, maybe teach you what I saw outside of our shared ring. Stubborn and willful, we went back and forth, the winner undecided with so many rounds left to go. The ring is covered in sweat, the towels are soaked on our shoulders. The crowd jeers, starving for bloodlust, not for a champion's arm raised up. No training can ever prepare for the gut-dropping moment of the final round when it's stand or fall. Our legs won't hold much longer. My fists are down. My fingers reluctantly unfurl. The gloves are off, the distance too great to go. The grit of sweat is the only reminder of the final seconds before the last blow. The crowd falls to a hush as the announcers count down from 10 to 1.
Thanks to Sister Boddicker for her reading. Next up is a spoken word piece by Brother Forrest Schweitzer, Zai 2016, which he shared at Swing Out this year.
Pretty things, like birds on broken wings, and spiny nettles that sting. I woke up this morning and felt. I woke up this morning and opened my eyes. I woke up this morning and drew breath. I woke up this morning and wiped from my eyes the deposits of dreams. I woke up this morning and felt hot water at my back and on my curves and in my bulges and my hollows, and I felt bliss and happiness. I woke up this morning and received good news. I woke up this morning and didn't get breakfast with a friend. I woke up this morning and walked, and I saw a carnival of dismembered fetuses and big, bold, black signs with quips like, "The insanity of choice." I woke up this morning and spoke truths, told lies, ran, was late, became early, went back to sleep, awoke, screamed and cracked and scratched the inside of my eyelids. I woke up this morning. I woke up. I woke. I, me, my, May, April, come and goes, like the tugging tide. There are marbles on distant shores which have been rolling around the ocean's depths for decades. Once sharp fragments of bottles and signs and meth pipes. Now just playthings for a child. It's interesting the way the tide smooths things out. Water is no hard thing, yet those things which enter it come out fundamentally changed, unroughened, made back into the touchable and the appreciable and the lovable. I'm the same way. I came into this world with blood and latex and a brilliant light. Screaming out into the presence from the absence came I. I knew not, was lost, was never found, was taken in by a family. Sure, my mother gave birth to me, and with her do I share an unspeakable bond held close-locked in the subtonal lumping, pumping, thumping. Endless from the womb. But what if I were to have come to another? It is a shit show from the beginning, and I'll tell you, it gets no better with time. Things become more opaque, colors roll and flex, and time seals in the reality of that passage, but easier is a pipe dream of the destitute and the powerful. My fragmentary being, just hewn into physical form, now 3, 4, 8, 19 years of age. All of this meaningless. April is the time for the birds to sing, and for the earth to be impregnated by the sky. April is the archetypal birthing month. Come May, the seeds sown in April will mellow into the dirt, their vibrations ceasing, but for the exhale of a lily cup, the thumbprint of a skylark, the timepiece of a March Hatter or a Mad Hare. And April is it now. Why do I write but to not look skyward? My wriggling feet have always bothered me, confusing the stillness of the ground they orbit about eternally. I have come to terms with a great many things since the light switch was flipped. I will grow, evolve, entertain, remake, unmake, dehumidify, shoeshine, beg, and brandish, but I will never get past that first hurdle. Death seems all the less significant when weighed with birth. Death, well, death is to me the sleep spindles and the frozen pen of the ancient writer, the calcified eagle and the dormant ferns in the moonlight. But birth is the man who falls asleep in his bed to a cup of tea and wakes ages since. Shot from a cannon into a bed of roses. It is April, and the signs are waving in the wind. It is April, and the sun shines hotly while the wind whines of winter. It is April, and the days grow longer without even asking permission. It is April, and I cannot tell if the grass is wet or just cold. It is April, and the turkeys of Thursday taunt me with their plumes and pomp. It is April, and I woke up this morning. It is April, and I woke up. It is April, and I woke up. It is April, and I woke. It is April, and it is April. It is. I woke. I...
To wrap up this episode, we'll take you out with a selection of a piece called Clouded by Yugen, also known as Brother T.J. Ward, Zai 1997. thanks for tuning in to Dear Uncle Tony. Special thanks to Brother Michael Williams, Sister KJ Garner, and to all of the contributors you heard on the show today. The interlude music is Ode to St. Anthony by Sister Charlotte Parrott. Dear Uncle Tony is a production of the Siblings of the St. Anthony Hall Zai Chapter, presented by the St. Anthony Association of North Carolina. The podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 4.0 International License. If you'd like to contribute content to the show, you can contact us at submissions@DearUncleTony.com, or you can leave us a greeting on our Google Voice line at 919-709-DEAR. That's 919-709-DEAR. If you're feeling shy about hearing your own voice recorded, you can always support the podcast and the Zai Chapter with a secure online donation at www.stanthonync.org/donate. Thanks again for listening. Respectfully submitted.